This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. We'll deal with this motion to vacate the speaker stuff and his second whistleblower kicked off. And we got a bunch of emails and other things to do this hour. Let's deal with this really quickly, though, because there's not a lot, I guess, to talk about here. We're just going to lay out a few stories. And then whatever conclusions you come to, I guess you can come to, but Boeing. Boeing's a really big company. They make airplanes. I don't know if you've heard. You probably also are well aware that they are a huge defense contractor. Enormous. Okay? So, been a long time. They've been making weapons, integrating themselves with the U.S. military. Militaries around the world, really. Okay? Making planes and stuff. Well, Boeing has been going through something in recent years. Industry insiders have known about it. Just now, the public is starting to know about it. And what is that something? Well, they're having problems. Safety problems. In fact, quality problems. Why are they having quality problems? Like most American corporations, gigantic ones, Boeing has been focusing on diversity for a long time, trying to make sure they diversify the workforce. Well, remember, whenever you intentionally diversify something, you make it worse. That's not debatable. If I come in to work tomorrow and I say, you know what, guys? You got too many white people in here. We're bringing in a woman. We're hiring a woman. We're going to have a new hire and it's going to be a woman. The second I decide it's going to be a woman, I've made the show worse. Because instead of just looking for the best person, whether it's a woman or a man, now I've eliminated who could have been the best guy. When you intentionally diversify something, you make it worse. From the highest levels in this country, our corporations have chosen to diversify. We need more women. We need got to have more fewer white men. Do we have enough gay people here? It's diversify. Always these things that focus on other things. Well, what's happened is with a company like Boeing, unsurprisingly, the quality has gone down. You know what diversity is, the death of everything. We talk about it all the time. Diversity is the death of everything. Quality started going down. And this happens in ways that you and me, that we'll never see. It's easy to look at Corinne Diversity Hire and mock her for being a diversity hire. She's on television. She can't answer questions or
the
talk.
The word xenophobic is a very pejorative and negative word, particularly to use against an ally. Is that what he meant?
Look, I think
Look, the president.
We got it. You can see that. That's something you know. There's video of it. You can see this human being. She got hired because she's a black lesbian. I can tell because she's terrible at her job. And the result of that is we never get clarification on anything out of the White House because we have a diversity hire who can't talk. It's laid out in front of you. You see it clear as day. I know it. You know it. Everyone knows it. That's the Corinne diversity hire situation. But what you don't see, and what I don't see, we don't see the supervisor in the Boeing factory. The supervisor, he's new. Now, why is he new? The last guy was great. He'd been working there for 20, 25 years. Outstanding history. Yeah, but he was white. And we decided to diversify the Boeing force. And so the new supervisor, she's a black woman, lesbian. They said they wanted to hire a lot more black female lesbians this year. And she's the new supervisor. Now, she doesn't know what the last guy knew. She's not near as committed. In fact, she knows she's a diversity hire. Therefore, she's a diversity fire, meaning it's going to be hard to fire her. Gosh, even if we fire her for cause, even if she doesn't show up to work for 2 weeks, we're going to get sued right away, discrimination. So she knows that. So the last guy, did I give him a name? We'll call him Jim. The last guy, Jim. He would actually work a little extra every day. He'd go down there, put his hands on everything that's being made. You know, those airplane doors. Jim is going to come check in every day. Hey, Mike, you missed a bolt on that one. Hey, let's go. If I see that again, we're going to write you up. Hey, Susie, is that thing done right? That window's not... Jim was down there, hands-on, years of experience. But Jim's gone now, you see. Now we have Trina. Trina doesn't care about the door. She doesn't care about the glass. Trina was hired because she's a black lesbian. Now, that door goes popping off the Boeing plane at 30,000 feet and 300 people splash into the Atlantic, never to be heard from again. You don't know it's because of Trina, but it's because of Trina. This is not at all a unique story to Boeing. Western civilization is rotting from this as we speak. Rotting from diversity. It's killing it. And this has been a problem that has been coming to the forefront in Boeing because it's so bad inside Boeing that we now have multiple whistleblowers coming forward saying, it's bad. Hey, this is dangerous. What they're doing is dangerous. They're not even checking things. Now, remember that safety engineer, Sam Slevur? He sat in front of Congress. Remember what he said?
Again, I raised concerns internally. I was sidelined. I was told to shut up. I received physical threats. My boss said, I would have killed someone who said what you said in a meeting. This is not a safety culture when you get threatened by bringing issues of safety concerns.
I was sidelined. I was threatened. I had physical threats. My boss threatened to kill me. Sounds like things are a little tense over there at Boeing. Well, they were certainly tense for the other gentleman in Charleston who was there giving his Boeing whistleblower testimony in good health, in good spirits. They found him with a, what's it say here? Self-inflicted gunshot wound in a car. Huh. And that was, I mean, that's just those two stories. And then today, what do you know? Joshua Dean. He died of an infection by all accounts, a sudden, fast-spreading infection. Apparently, he was age 45 and reportedly in very good health. Now, Joshua Dean was doing something else at the time of his death. Oh, he's also a whistleblower giving out information that doesn't make Boeing look very good. Huh. Well, I'm certainly not connecting any dots. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I just, man, sounds like it's pretty dangerous to work for Boeing. Certainly, if you have any complaints, seems to be a very dangerous job.
Again, I raised concerns internally. I was sidelined. I was told to shut up. I received physical threats. My boss said, I would have killed someone who said what you said in a meeting. This is not a safety culture when you get threatened by bringing issues of safety concerns.
Second Boeing whistleblower dies early in just the past couple months. I'm sure it's nothing. No big deal. Jesse, do you know anyone who's just okay with mayo? That's right. Tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. These are the questions we need. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. I know people who love it. I know people who absolutely hate it. She puts weirdos. You're right, woman. They are weirdos. But I don't know anyone who just likes it. What do you say? See, this is why I'm a more advanced person than people like Chris. What, Chris? I love mayo. I love mayo. I mean, you can call me Pete Buttigieg. That's how much I love mayonnaise. What, Chris? It's fine. We can make jokes. Chris despises mayonnaise because he has no taste whatsoever. However, because I'm more advanced than he is, I actually respect him and his opinions. I understand the hatred of mayo. It's a strong flavor. It's white. It's kind of tangy. I get that. So, Chris, I respect you in your food opinions. I understand. Now, Chris doesn't reciprocate. All I have to hear about is Chris's inappropriate statements about mayo and why it's really gross and stuff like that. There are many of us out there who understand there are things you love and there are things you hate, but there are many things like mayonnaise nobody's wishy-washy on. Actually, Trump's one of those people. Hardly anybody's kind of in the middle on Trump. I don't really care one way or the other about it. Anyone loves him or hates him. But you're so right about mayonnaise. And to follow up that point, this is why I would like a little bit more respect for my anti-sour cream take. You sour cream lovers are the weirdest bunch of freaks. It's not good, Chris. And look, even if you don't understand my anti-sour cream stance, you really don't get how someone could come to that conclusion. Congratulations, you put cream out on the front porch in July and it went bad after a week and now you're eating it on enchiladas and I'm the weirdo? Have you thought about that? Have you thought about what it's going to mean if they do a motion to vacate the speaker next week? I have. We'll talk about it next. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. All right, let's deal with the Mike Johnson motion to vacate thing. That apparently this thing is going to happen. It's coming. All right. So here's what's going on. Remember when Kevin McCarthy was having a hard time becoming speaker? He was having a hard time get the votes. Remember, you have to vote. The members of the House vote on becoming speaker. You have to have a majority of the House or you don't get to be speaker. And McCarthy couldn't get the votes. McCarthy had been in leadership, various forms of GOP leadership for ages. Did you know I had dinner with him once? He would come out to Arizona when I was running for Congress because he was a younger guy in leadership back then, and he was raising money and all kinds of things and meet with donors. We actually had steak together one night once. It was nice. He was a nice guy, whatever. But McCarthy couldn't seem to cobble together enough votes to be Speaker of the House. So he had to start making concessions. Essentially, the younger, more hardcore, more right-wing, more anti-communist people in the House. Some of them are wonderful. Some of them are pretty cringe. They made him sign on to an agreement. And the agreement was, well, there was a bunch of stuff to it, but the agreement basically was, hey, if we want you gone, it only takes a couple of us and we'll get you gone. We can vacate this speakership. If you violate your agreement to us, and they had to sign an agreement that listed all kinds of things, if you violate this, you'll be gone. Well, it took McCarthy, of course, about 5 seconds to violate the thing, and boom, he gets gone. Now, why did he get gone? Well, Matt Gaetz was the one who pushed him out. Always remember, no matter which politician you love or hate, there's a story behind the story. Remember this? Remember when DeSantis and Trump were in the primary? I'm not getting sidetracked, trust me.
My focus is just stay focused.
And then a bunch of Florida lawmakers came out hardcore for Trump, but they didn't just come out and say, hey, I'm backing Trump. They really made a big show of it, and they started blasting away at DeSantis. Crazy stuff, even stuff that wasn't even really true, to be honest with you. Byron Donalds and Matt Gaetz were kind of leading that stuff, just crucifying him, acting like he's racist, all kinds of, remember that? Well, remember, I told you what that was. Doesn't matter which one you backed. I don't care about any of that. Byron Donalds wants to be the next governor of Florida. Ron DeSantis is term limited up in 2028. Matt Gaetz wants to be the next governor of Florida. Byron Donalds and Matt Gaetz, Chris, write this one down, even though I've said it before. They're going to run against each other in a nasty primary, in the Florida primary, to become the next governor. What you saw, the endless Trump butt kissing, it wasn't about Trump or not about Trump. It really had nothing to do with Trump or DeSantis. They were both competing to be the, quote, Trump candidate, the one that Trump backs, because if Trump backs you in the GOP primary, it's a great way to win a primary. They were trying to be governor of Florida. That's what that was. They were both just trying to be governor of Florida. Well, Gaetz is outstanding at what's known as earned media. Earned media. Look, if I pay for media, it's because I take whatever it costs, $10,000. I don't know. Take whatever it costs to advertise. I take $10,000 and I go pay for advertising the Jesse Kelly Show. Tucker's show. I go to Tucker and I say, hey, Tucker, here's 10 grand. Put some of my commercials on there. That's not earned media. Earned media would be me running outside. Any one of the stupid stunts I've done on video. I run outside right now and pull my pants down and I poop on the sidewalk to oppose communism. And soon it's going viral everywhere. Every news site, right-wing radio host poops on the sidewalk to oppose communism. And my face is on TMZ and everyone's talking about it. That's earned media. Matt Gaetz is the master at earned media. Taking these interviews, taking these things he does, and making them into gigantic shows. Not that that's always bad. I'm not dogging on him. I'm just telling you what's happening. In order to earn more media and build his reputation. Gaetz saw an opportunity to bounce Kevin McCarthy, and because I didn't care for him either, I was fine with the whole thing. I don't care, let him fight. So he bounces Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy leaves, but there were things that happened with Kevin McCarthy leaving that we all didn't see. We talked about it a little on the show, but we didn't focus on it because there are other things. When Kevin McCarthy got bounced, what happened was the long-established GOPers in the House, the leadership types, the types who've been there for 10, 20 years, those types, they got angry. People in life, you probably have experienced this. Maybe you even do this. It's a very natural thing to do. People get real protective of their seniority. They guard their seniority and they don't like it when someone with less experience usurps their power. They don't like it at all. Look, you know what a great example is? This show right here. You know, I've told you the story before. You already know it. I'm pretty much brand new to radio. We only started doing media like 6 years ago. I was living a normal life. And now it's for Premiere. I mean, the biggest syndicator on the planet and the shows everywhere across the country. And you have any idea how much anger and jealousy that is created with other hosts who've been doing it for 30 years wanting that phone call? And I'm not dogging on them. It's just, it's natural. Hey, I've been doing this forever. This guy just freaking got here. Why is he here and we're not? So what happened when McCarthy got bounced was a version of that. And it created an environment in the House. And that environment has brought us to where we are today. And I'll explain what I'm talking about in a moment. But first, we're going to interview Jeremy Carl, and then I'll come back and I'll discuss that. Before I do any of that, I want to do this. I want to talk to you about your phone service, which is garbage. I know it is because AT&T is a garbage company. Verizon is bad. T-Mobile is bad. I remember T-Mobile. You know what hits me so hard is how bad they were during COVID. You name the evil COVID thing a company could do, and that company did it. And then there's Pure Talk, sitting there, patriotic, freedom-loving. While the other companies are busy handing out your money to Planned Parenthood, Pure Talk's tackling veteran suicide. Their CEO is a veteran. You don't sacrifice service, you save money. You keep your phone and your number, or get a new phone, new number. Pick up your phone and dial pound 250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250 say Jesse Kelly. Switch to Pure Talk. I'll finish my thought on the house and all that stuff after I check in with Jeremy Carl real quick. He wrote a book. Hang on.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. I am excited for this. Joining me now, senior fellow at the amazing Claremont Institute. Gosh, I love Claremont. Author of the book, The Unprotected Class, Jeremy Carl joins us now. Jeremy, who's the unprotected class?
Thanks for having me on, Jesse. The unprotected class is white Americans. And that's what I argue in this book, that they are being informally and formally discriminated against, and that we need to do something about it.
Let's talk about the formally for now. Let's focus on that. In what ways are white people being discriminated against in this country? Because that's quite a statement to make in a country where we've all been raised that, of course, white people were privileged and have it all. Everyone else is an oppressed minority who's being attacked at all sides. But that's not what you're arguing. Explain.
Right. Well, I'm arguing that if you look at everything from kind of affirmative action in jobs to the workplace to quotas for everything from getting an Academy Award to, getting in an organization, it has never been more disadvantageous to be white. And I'm not doing this, by the way, to kind of whine to the refs or complain or say, oh, you know, woe is us. It's to kind of try to get white people to kind of have enough self-respect to say, hey, we're not willing to be treated like second-class citizens.
Okay, when did this begin, Jeremy? When did we start being treated like second-class citizens? Everyone who's being honest can look around and see it now because everyone brags about it. Who does it now? No, we're hiring 50 new people, and none of them will be white. So it's very out there, but it didn't just come here yesterday, did it?
No, absolutely. And you sort of hit on it. Like, a lot of it is just hiding in plain sight. And we, you know, it's almost like we have a battered spouse syndrome, you know, where we just, or Stockholm syndrome, you know, where we're just sort of used to, we've grown to love our captors because we have just gotten used to it. But really it's, you know, I think obviously some of the roots of it were in the way the Civil Rights Act was designed in the 1964. But it took a while, obviously, to pick up steam because that was addressing some real problems. But I'd say by the 80s, you know, it began to tip in the other direction. And I'd say by the early 2000s, it really just became a pretty overall anti-white regime. And then in the last decade, it's even accelerated further. And that's not just an opinion. You really see that in actual data.
In what way was the Civil Rights Act flawed? Because that's quite a thing to say. A lot of people look back at the Civil Rights Act. We were, as you mentioned, trying to right some wrongs that were going on in the country. Where'd they screw up then?
Yeah, and I mean, I think, again, I'm not trying to relitigate that because I think it was really addressing some real wrongs. But what we ended up doing is, A, we took away freedom of association for people, even in the private sphere. And I think that was an area in where things really got overstepped. I think, secondly, the deep state, the bureaucracy, really sort of took hold of the Civil Rights Act and over decades put a bunch of things that, if you look at the debate around the Civil Rights Act, were clearly not intended, but then became, you know, over decades through the bureaucracy law. And then you had cases like Griggs versus Duke Power in 1971, Supreme Court case, introducing a concept called disparate impact, which basically, to oversimplify, if you have a hiring process and you wind up with, you know, too few minorities, then you can say it has a disparate impact and it's illegal, even if there is no intent to discriminate. So we had things like that just run wild, and that's kind of why we wound up in the problems we're in.
Speaking with Jeremy Carl, author of the book The Unprotected Class. Jeremy, while you were speaking just then, my producer Chris snuck into my office and stole a toothpick right in front of my face from my toothpick supply. Have you ever had somebody steal something from you in the office? If so, how did you respond?
Well, you know, I think I just for legality, I'm probably going to have to punt on that question because I wouldn't want the feds, who are undoubtedly already unhappy with me for having written this book, to have any more reason to mess with me.
What's the worst part about writing a book?
I think for a book like this, it's a little different. I'd written sort of more academic books, and this is really aimed squarely at a mainstream popular audience. And I've been thankful that it's found one and been endorsed by folks like Tucker Carlson and Charlie Kirk and other folks with you know, nice big platforms. But I think the hardest thing about writing this particular book was not to kind of prove the thesis, which I think I do quite easily, but just knowing that there are going to be a lot of people who, no matter what I write here, they're going to call me a racist or they're going to say it's wrong, and they're just not even going to look at the evidence that I spent almost 2 years putting together. So I think that's the hard part.
Yeah. That would be Jeremy Carl, everybody. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate you very, very much. All right. Now, back to what I promised you over and over again. The emails. I told you I'd be all over it. Dear Jesse, it's scary how right you are. The subject of this one is UCLA. I listen to several talk radio shows, mostly WRKO in Boston. That's a sick station. On each, including texters to you, people suggest that if large screens showing videos were installed outside the student protests of the actual rape and beatings and tortures of innocent Israelis, then the encampments would fade away. I thought this made sense. You scoffed. But during the last two nights, pro-human forces did indeed install screens showing these videos outside the encampments of the subhumans. Not a single subhuman left. So depressing. I don't know that this is going to make it any less depressing, but I will say they're not subhumans. And I know I probably have referred to them as that before, and I'm not lecturing you. They're anti-humans. It's not that they're lower than human life. It's not that. They are against human life. And this can be very, very, very difficult for someone like you to understand. When you are a human being, whatever your situation is, you have a value system. I know you have a value system. Why? Because here we are on Thursday night, or maybe you're listening the next morning, Friday on a podcast. Here you are with endless options of things to do and listen to. You're listening to this. So you have a value system that shows automatically that you have a value system. Okay, I'm not trying to patronize you. Just stay with me for a moment. A person with a value system cannot relate to someone who has none at all. Here's a great example. Actually, it's a terrible example, but you'll understand what I mean. So there was this video floating around. This is a few years ago online. There was video floating around of a dude. He was driving a minivan and he had a dog in the minivan. And somebody was recording this guy driving down the highway from an apartment that was kind of looking down over the minivan. Okay, you with me? And he pulls up. He opens up the passenger side door where his dog is, very clearly his dog is. And he kicks the dog out of the van onto the highway. And he closes the door and he burns rubber and he takes off. And the dog, I mean, it's freaking heartbreaking, right? Is there anything worse than that? The dog is running down the highway after the van. Don't go. And everybody, I'm cold-hearted me. Everyone's practically crying. I'm watching. My heart's just ripped out of my chest. Someone saved the dog. How could you do that to your dog? And then you sit there and you think to yourself, who could do that? What kind of a person, is it even a human being who could do that? There are people in this world surrounding you right now. We don't like to think about this, but it's true. They're really, really bad, man. And they've gone through things in their life, upbringing-wise, parents, abuse, drugs, so many things. They've gone through so many things in their lives. And they've had so much propaganda piped into their eyes and ears in various ways. There are people out there who really are just bad. When it comes to street communists, street animals, universally, these people, it's not that they hate America uniquely, or although they do, or hate Christianity, or hate Jews, or hate white people, or hate, it's not just that. They hate themselves. And someone with a value system has an impossible time trying to understand why someone can hate themselves. How could someone look at video of, you know, women being assaulted and murdered and not be moved? How could that not move you? Well, if you're already broken, shattered, it doesn't matter what I show you. You can't be moved. They're not subhuman. They're anti-human. They are the enemies of humanity. They hate humanity itself. And I know, even saying it, I don't fully understand it and understand why. And you probably don't either, because I can't relate, because I love people. But that's how these people think. All right. Look, just keep loving people. I love people. That's why I tell you all the time about MyPillow. Except apparently I have to edit this. This guy says, "Dear goofball, MyPillow might have a sale on, but they don't have the product I want. All the men's slippers are already gone." So quit promoting something they don't have. He said, "Good show, goof." Listen, I try not to be pushy when I tell you about sales that come up. But I've done this before when a MyPillow sale comes up. When they have a special, when they have a sale on something, and they always have some crazy sale. You really need to hurry. Supplies are not unlimited, and I don't want to be that guy that comes on the radio and says, "Buy now, they're almost gone." But as the email reflects, and this happens every time, whatever MyPillow is selling criminally cheap, it's going to sell out. So when they have a $25 extravaganza sale like they have right now, don't wait. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special square, and use the promo code Jesse. Or call 800-845-0544.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Don't forget, we have Ask Dr. Jesse Friday tomorrow. You need to email me, Jesse at jessekellyshow.com, all of your questions. Back to what we were talking about with the vacation. I don't think you're supposed to put it, the motion to vacate the speaker. They're going to vacate Speaker of the House Mike Johnson next week. Marjorie Taylor Greene and Thomas Massey are going to bounce him. So after Kevin McCarthy got bounced, what it did in the House of Representatives was it created a real resentment between the old establishment rhino loser types and the new upstart anti-communist types. and they started retiring. They started revolting. They started rebelling. In fact, I was told by more than one source that part of the reason you see so much of this horrible legislation passed by Mike Johnson, where a minority of Republicans join with all the Democrats and pass a bad law, part of the reason you're seeing that is that minority of Republicans are on what essentially amounts to a revenge tour against the more right-wing group in the House of Representatives. How about that for how your government runs, right? Like a bunch of high school kids. So now we have this rift. And this rift, it's not going to change. I was about to say get better, but that's not the word I want to use, and this is why. This rift is good. I'm not saying the motion to vacate the speaker is good. I actually don't care about that either way, one way or the other. I just don't want them to ever meet or pass any laws. Whatever we can do to make sure that happens, that's fine. But the rift between the old rhino dorks and the new young ones, many are good, many are garbage too, is a good rift because people don't hand back power. You and I have talked about this recently when we were talking about you running for office. Whether it's you're trying to get on the HOA or the school board or the state house, whatever you're thinking about doing, I was telling you that you're taking something from someone when you do that. Someone holds that power and they value it. They treasure it. And here you are. You're trying to conquer them. That's what you're doing. You're taking something that they believe belongs to them and you're going to take it away. They're not just going to hand it to you. It's angry. It's personal. It gets ugly out there. It's politics. Right now, this whole motion to vacate thing, while I don't care about that individual part of it, whether they vacate, don't vacate, I don't care. Mike Johnson's useless, and the next one would be useless too. That's why it doesn't matter to me. I don't care about that portion, but I am happy that the fights we want to happen, they're already happening. They just don't happen as fast as we want. You, me, we come here every day, all the time, and we complain about the GOP because they are worthy of that complaint. They suck, and they're low-T, and their uses are blah, 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 and all those things. Yes, so we need to change it. Yes, but we are changing it. Just slowly. We're changing it very, very slowly. And to change it means to take power away from a bunch of people who've been there a long time holding on to that power. It's going to be uncomfortable changing it. There's not a nice way to take power away from somebody and give it to yourself. There's not a polite way to do that, but it has to be done. Why? Because we can't have this anymore.
We know what the timetable is. We know the urgency in Ukraine and in Israel, and we are going to stand by Israel, our close ally and dear friend, and we're going to stand for freedom and make sure that Vladimir Putin doesn't march through Europe. These are important responsibilities. A strong America is good for the entire world. Since World War II, really, really, the responsibility for the free world has been shifted onto our shoulders.
That was Mike Johnson after he became Speaker. This was Mike Johnson last September on my television show where I interviewed
him. The greatest threat to us at the end of the day is our nation's debt. And so we have to get serious about this. You need adults in the room to advance the cutting.
The greatest threat was our nation's debt yesterday. Today, it's this.
We know what the timetable is. We know the urgency in Ukraine and in Israel. And we are going to stand by Israel, our close ally and dear friend. And we're going to stand for freedom and make sure that Vladimir Putin doesn't.
Those people have to have power taken away from them. It has to be taken away from them. Speaking of yesterday, this is last July. Mike Johnson was on Glenn Greenwald's show.
That is what keeps us up at night, Glenn. We're worried about what has become of these agencies that have such broad and expansive powers. You know, the top law enforcement agent.
That was then. This is him now.
When I was a member of the judiciary, I saw all the abuses of the FBI, the terrible abuses over and over and over, the hundreds of thousands of abuses. And then when I became Speaker, I went to the SCIF and got the confidential briefing from sort of the other perspective on that to understand the necessity of Section 702 of FISA and how important it is for national security. And it gave me a different perspective. So I encourage all the members to go to the classified briefing and hear all that and see it so they can evaluate the situation for themselves. And I think some opinions have changed both ways, but that's part of the process. You got to be fully informed.
We have to take that guy's power away. We do. We have to take it away from them. And they're going to hold on to it. And that's what we talk about all the time. What we're seeing now is the changing of the guard. Doesn't mean the new guard will be good, but the old guard is bad and has to be kicked out, and it's going to be uncomfortable. All right? All right, let's get to some emails and other things. But first, you don't want to end up like Mike Johnson, where you stand for something for a while, and then you cave the second things get tough. Oh, well, Jesse, what? How do I avoid that? Well, you need to get your testosterone levels up. When your T levels get too low, you become Mike Johnson. You don't want that. I don't want that. We can't have a nation full of Mike Johnsons. Otherwise, we're screwed. We don't need more Johnsons in this country. Go get on a male vitality stack from Chalk, gentlemen. And ladies, you are not exempt from this. Natural herbal supplements for you as well. A female vitality stack. Go begin. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse is where you begin your journey. Isn't that sound nice? What, Chris? It sounds nice when you say it that way. Begin your testosterone journey. Anyway, CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse. We still have an hour left of the CDC finally admitting some things and finally going even worse than they were before. Some talk about the military and much more. Hang on.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.